All right. Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody this morning. It's good to be back in the house of God. And let's stand and turn to page 29 at the cross. Page 29.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred hand for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for Christ that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing did he grace and all, and the beyond the grief. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness lie into his glory sin. When Christ the mighty maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief and everything, the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. Is now that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Amen. Brother Stephen, you might open some prayer this morning.
Amen.
Y'all may be seated. Let's turn to page 243. Victory in Jesus. The cleansing blood. I heard
walk again and cause the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. Praise God, he loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He brought me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about his kingdom beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up in the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He bought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. Praise God, he loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He brought me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
It's good to be here today.
Love the sunshine. Amen. Boy, I'm just thankful. It's a blessed day, a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Every day is. Amen. And it's good to have you here today. It's good to have some visitors here. Amen. And some of you say, preacher, there's no strings. And Brother Richard had already explained that. I do want to quote Brother Richard. He said, it's just like an electric fence for a dog. Amen. It teaches them the boundaries. And that's all the purpose of that was, so that we knew. All right. Now, that was Brother Richard that said that. Don't get mad at the preacher. Amen. Brother Richard said that. Brother Richard, he's got the red shirt of offense on again today. Amen. And so, you pray for Brother Richard. Amen. Oh, really? Is that what it was? Cows. All right. That's even better. Dig that hole. Amen. Amen. So, I think they're sheep, brother. You're digging deeper, amen. But listen, I don't want us to get complacent. I know that there's a lot that we've went out, or those that have went out, they've got their vaccines, everything's good. Don't put trust in a vaccine, put trust in the Lord. Amen. And God's kept us this far. He's going to continue to do. Amen. But with that, don't just let your guard down. Don't just say everything's going to be fine. I can turn a blind eye. It is real. There are folks that have died from it, but there's also many that have survived. Amen. And you don't know. Here's the great thing. None of us have tomorrow promised. And it doesn't matter what it is. When it's our time, it's our time. Amen. So let's be wise, and we'll just continue to serve the Lord and conduct ourselves the way that we're supposed to, do what we're supposed to do. Amen. And remember that. Now, I do want to praise the Lord. We're still on YouTube. All the services. God, if anything through COVID has opened my eyes to the opportunity to be able to broadcast live through YouTube. And so we're still going out live. And with that, we've got 157 subscribers, which I praise the Lord for. Amen. That's about, 150 more than we had last year this time. Amen. And so I'm thankful for that. And with that, I encourage you to continue to promote it. We need subscribers. We still don't have the internet here. We're still using my phone. And I'm thankful that God's allowed us that opportunity. However, continue to promote it. Let others know. Not just because we need subscribers, but because it is the truth. Amen? And there's many out there today that need the truth. And so continue to promote that. I do ask you to keep Brother Jackie in prayer. He's not feeling well this morning. Not contagious-wise. Amen? Yeah, and Brother Stephen and I, was talking about it, and I'm sure Brother Jackie's tuning in, and so we can go ahead and say this to him, and let him know that it doesn't matter if your back hurts at home or if your back hurts here. Amen? And so, nonetheless, hey, I'm just throwing a lot under the bus this morning, aren't I? Brother Stephen had came up with that, Brother Jackie, so you'll know that. And I know you got his number, amen? But nonetheless, do pray for Brother Jackie that his back would be doing better. He's had a lot of back problems here lately, and so do continue to pray for him. Now, on a positive note, Sister Violet's going to have an anniversary this week, and Sister Ashley's going to have a birthday this week. Amen. And so we're going to sing happy birthday and happy anniversary real quick, and then we'll get going. Amen. Everyone likes to get older. Amen. And Sister Violet's really happy when it's not her birthday and it's her anniversary. Amen. So, all right, here we go. We're going to, Sister Ashley's birthday is Tuesday, so let's sing happy birthday to her first, and then we'll sing happy anniversary to Sister Violet. All right, now, sing it like you mean it. All right, here we go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
All right, Sister Violet's birthday anniversary. Here we go.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to y'all. Happy anniversary, God bless y'all. Happy anniversary to y'all.
Amen. Now, I know you say, preacher, you're starting to lighten things up and do some things. We're still going to have the collection plate on the back there in the jug. We'll just keep dropping it in there for a while. Pray that God would give me discernment. My prayer is that God would just continue to guide me in how. And you say, when we have in Sunday school, when we have in the bus ministry, when God gives me peace, I'll just move. If that's all right with y'all, and if it's not, well, I don't care. Amen. It's going to be all right. We'll just follow the Lord. And so you keep praying God would give me discernment and keep us safe through all of this. I'm ready. If I could do it yesterday, we would have already done it. Amen. But nonetheless, I've got to have the guidance from the Lord to say, yep, it's time. And, you know, there were some times that we, especially with the bus ministry, I was worried about things before COVID. Amen. But, you know, I just pray that God would continue to protect us. Amen. All right, Brother James, you got a song?
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
My time comes to go.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I agree. Yes, ma'am. 100%. And I've been praying for him for years. And God knows. God will continue to prick that heart. Amen. And you pray for Mr. Bill. I'd love to see him get saved. Amen. Amen.
For those that have the choir books, page 126. I think it's the last song in the book. Toward the last. Anyway, it's near the last. Get it on your book. The last. One of the last ones. When my time comes to go. You ready, brother? You got it down. G. Everybody doing G. Well, I may be lame and I cannot walk, maybe blind and cannot see. But I'll fly away on the wings of His love when Jesus comes for me. When my time comes to go, when my time comes to go, I'm going to lay my head on Jesus Christ when my time comes to go. Well, the road is rough and the way is long, ever faithful I will be. Make it through by the grace of God. He will stand by me. When my time comes to go, when my time comes to go, I'm gonna lay my head on Jesus Christ. When my time comes to go, well, I want to hear Him say, well done, I have come to set you free. There's a crowd of waiting just for you, you'll come unto me. Y'all sing it now. Well, I may be lame and I cannot walk, maybe blind and cannot see. But I'll do when my time comes to go.
Amen. You know, when you play it by ear, you can do it any way you want to.
Amen.
Amen. I like it.
All right, let's stand and turn to page 327, Higher Ground.
Amen. Amen.
327. Let's stand as the sing the last song. I'm pressing on the upper way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fear dismay. No song may dwell where peace abound. My prayer, my aim is higher ground. Oh, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane that I have found. Oh, plant my feet on higher ground. Live above the world, those sagging hearts and be our world. For faith and thought, the joyful sound, the song of strength on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. The sweet offering to heaven I found. Lord, lead me on your higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane that I have found. Lord, let my feet on higher ground. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Well, it's good to be here. Appreciate y'all coming. Hope you came to hear from the Lord more than you came to hear from me. God's got a message for us. And say, preacher, how do you know that? Well, because I've just been enjoying it. Because he has to give it to me before he can ever give it to you. Amen. And I'm thankful he's given me, he spoke to me. I've enjoyed this. Although I will tell you, this is one of the hardest messages I've ever wrote. And even harder to preach. You say, preacher, why is that? Well, because I don't usually write a lot of notes. But when you have four services contained within one message, it becomes a lot to try to remember and keep it all flowing and keep it all going. And what's God's purpose for us? And how's this going to work? And how are we going to remember it all when the preacher can't even remember it all? And so I pray that you'll just be obedient to the Lord and that God's going to use me. And I am going to bring us back a little bit so that we can remember everything that's been going on the last Sunday morning and Sunday night service.
I've slept since then. I know I've forgot things. And so I definitely want to bring it back to your attention. So if you would, take your Bibles. And I want you to turn over to 1 Samuel. We're going to go back where we were last week. 1 Samuel chapter number 9. And as you turn there and as you get there, I want you to grab a hymn book. And I want you to turn over to page number 328. And I'd like to make this connection. This whole year, the Lord willing, it will be our focus to claim and to climb the mountain. To claim and to climb the mountain. And we're looking at living up to God's plan for our life. That's what this series of messages is titled that God's given me, is living up to God's plan. And I'm thankful as a child of God that God has a plan for my life. But you should be thankful too if you're here today. And listen, even if you're not saved, God has a plan. First plan that He has is for you to get saved. Amen. I'm thankful that God determined before it was 1900, before you were born, God had planned. And you say, well, preacher, I mean, I wasn't born in the 1900s. Well, I was. But there's some here today that can say, I wasn't born in the 1900s. May I tell you, there wasn't even a start of time, and God already had the plan of salvation for you. In fact, it wasn't just planned out. It was already provided. Because before Christ ever came to the cross, He was already crucified. You say, preacher, how does that work? Well, that's because that's God. He said it. Now, all of us can say something, and it doesn't mean it's going to come to fruition. It doesn't mean that we're really going to do what we say. We might try, we might give it our best effort, but we still fall short. But I'm thankful when God says something, that's the way it is. Amen. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And I'm thankful that He is that Lamb and salvation was already provided. And so before you were ever born, God had a plan.
Amen.
A plan for you to get saved. But then we find as well as a child of God, once we get saved, God hasn't ended yet. He's given us a plan and a purpose for our life. Now, there's some in here, and I think about some of our children, and I love one of my favorite classes. Now, adults, don't get mad at me. I enjoy teaching the adult Sunday school class, but Brother Sutton, I really enjoyed teaching the teens. It was my favorite class to teach. You say, preacher, why is that? Because they're moldable. God is molding them, or Satan is going to mold them, one of the two. Amen. And it's important to understand that, boy, the value that they have, and you can show them, and it's fun. And I enjoy it when I see adults and the light comes on. But when you see children get excited for the things of God, it is, whew. I'm telling you, it's one of those, you just get excited. I remember, well, we were talking about the bus ministry just a little bit ago, and I remember when we had a slew. I think that day there was four or five on the bus that got saved. Amen. One started out in junior church, and she came up and she told me, she said, I just asked Jesus to be my Savior. I said, boy, praise the Lord. And I sat down with her with my Bible, just asked her if she understood what was going on. And her brother had came over, and he said, I want to listen in. I said, that's fine. You can listen in. And I'm beginning to explain to her what just took place. And he says, I want to get saved. Woo! Amen! And then on the way home, their cousins wanted to get saved. You say, preacher, that's all just garbage. I mean, they just made a profession because one made a profession. I don't believe so. Because they stayed in it. They wanted to continue on. Amen. And I'm thankful that God had a purpose. Not just for them to get saved, but to continue on. And I remember seeing their eye. Boy, they were ready to go and wanted to learn more. And isn't it good that God has a purpose for us? I told you last week, it drives me crazy with all of these easy believism and these, Brother Richard calls them the empty believisms, and a lot of truth to that, amen? But I get frustrated at health, wealth, and prosperity. You know, preacher, don't you believe that we should have health, wealth, and prosperity? Yeah, but they honestly minimalize it. They make it less than it is. You see, the purpose that God has and the plan that God has for my life is far greater than what I can even imagine. The Bible promises me that. Over in the book of Ephesians, and you don't have to turn there, I reminded you last Wednesday or last Sunday night, the Bible tells us in Ephesians, and we find here in chapter number 3, that now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us.
In verse number 16 of Ephesians 3, it tells us that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. I'm thankful it's not upon my riches. Amen. I remember as a kid growing up, and they would you'd walk into the bank. Remember when you used to have to actually do bank service at the bank? Some of you go, preacher, they made you go to the bank. Yeah. Yeah, if you want to do any banking, that's where it was done. And you went up to the bank, and I remember on the door, you'd open that door and it'd say that it was guaranteed for $100,000. FDIC, you know, guarantee is $100,000. And I was like, man, that's a lot of money. And even today at almost 48, I'm going, man, that's a lot of money. But may I tell you, if the world gave you $100,000, it's nothing to the riches of God's glory. And man says, boy, you know, you need, God wants this great health for you, and He wants this great prosperity. Prosperity isn't man's definition of prosperity. I want God's definition of prosperity. Amen. God wants us to prosper in everything. Why? Because it's all to His glory. Amen. And I don't want to sidetrack us too much here, and I'm not trying to chase a rabbit, but understand here that God wants more for you than even you can imagine. That's His plan for your life. You say, preacher, I don't know that. Well, let's look, if you would, back over at 1 Samuel chapter number 9. 1 Samuel chapter number 9. And hold your place there with me as we look. And let's go ahead and stand. We're going to stand and we're going to sing and we're going to read some Scripture. We'll pray and I'll sit you down. And then if the Lord had helped me, I'm going to preach. Notice, if you would, in 1 Samuel chapter number 9, look at verse number 15. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time, I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he, now this is what we've got in our, this is what God really showed me, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I looked upon my people because of their cry is coming to me. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold the man whom I spake of to thee of. This same shall reign over my people. Now this is not a that he may or may not. This is his, he may because he's allowed to. This is God's plan for Saul's life. That he may deliver or save the nation of Israel from the hand of the Philistines. That's what God wants for Saul. Now that's not all of our plan. That's not what God has for all of us. But God has a plan for you. And it can be done, or it may be done. It's not on your power, but on His. And so take your hymn books and turn over to page number 328. We haven't sang it in a while. This is our... not all... Hey, listen, I've been the pastor here for almost 15 years now, or 14 and a half years, and we've never had a theme song for the year. I've had mottos or themes all year long, but we've never had a theme song. And this year, as God gave us the direction, He gave us a theme song. It's one that you can just kind of, you're having one of those gray days, you can just kind of get this in your heart, and you say, preacher, I just don't really like this song. I really don't care. I like it. I like it. And so we're going to sing it. Amen? So here we go now. I saw the giant of prayerlessness upon the mountain high. He laughed so hard. No longer in the wilderness. I want that mountain, it belongs to me. I want that mountain. I want that mountain. Where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Eshcol grow, I want that mountain. I want that mountain, the mountain that my Lord has given me. On the second, there was a giant of laziness who said I wouldn't go and witness for the one who set me free. I'll come from out the wilderness, I'll witness now I know. I want that mountain, it belongs to me. I want that mountain, I want that mountain.
Where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Escrow grow, I want that mountain. I want that mountain, the mountain that my Lord has given me. On the third, one faithless giant upon Hebron's lofty height has vowed that he's the one to make me flee. I'll climb from out the wilderness and trust Jehovah's might. I want that mountain, it belongs to me. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Escrow grow. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, the mountain that my Lord has given me. On the last, let every giant of distress and unbelief and sin get ready now to vacate, for you see, I've come from out the wilderness, I'll know I'm going to win. I want that mountain, it belongs to me. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Escrow grow. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, the mountain that my Lord has given me. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the encouragement, Lord, in knowing that you have a purpose for our life. And Lord, that you've given us everything, as we look back a little bit at what we learned last week, that you've already provided everything that we can have for that mountain. You've provided the mountain. You've provided the path up it. Lord, you've provided everything that we need. And Lord, I pray that today we would just make that solemn decision again. Lord, that we're going to continue to climb to your glory. And Father, I pray you would direct our steps, Lord, direct our hearts. And Father, I pray your will be done in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We look here this morning, and just for a recap, we understand what's going on. Israel has demanded a king. They said, look, Samuel, you're not like your sons are not like you are, and we need a king. We want to be like all the other nations. And so God has looked down and he's put Saul in that place, although that's not God's desire. God has always desired to be the king over Israel. And may I tell you that God has desired to be our king. Amen. I know that there's those out there that say, I just don't believe in a lordship salvation. And I praise the Lord that He is my Lord. Amen. He's my Savior and my Lord. And boy, I'm thankful. I'm going to follow Him. It's not the fact that I make a profession so that I can get fire insurance for eternity. No, He's my Savior today. He's my Lord today. Amen. And so I look and I find that God has chosen one man. Now listen, this was humbling to me. When I realized here that God said, Saul, I'm going to have you in the day of apostasy, that falling away from God, I'm going to raise up a man and he's going to continue to shine the light. This is God's plan for Saul's life, that he may deliver the children of Israel or save the children of Israel from the hand of the Philistines. May I tell you that today, listen, we're living, I truly believe in 2020, that corruption or that COVID was to awaken the eyes of the church. The Bible tells us, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Amen. And listen, if we'll turn, not America, but the church, it's time for the church to open their eyes. And I truly believe that COVID was sent by God so that the church would open their eyes. But may I tell you that because we didn't, I believe we have the corruption of 2021. Now, I don't know, next year I'll have a 3-point sermon, all literized and everything. Amen. And so I look at the COVID, and then I look at the corruption. You say, preacher, what corruption? Open your eyes. Amen. Open your eyes. And may I tell you, it's not because of the issue at the gas pump. Brother James and I was talking about how much lumber's went up just in the last couple of months. It's crazy. But it's not that. I'm talking about the fact that, listen, folks, I'll be honest with you. I have not read Dr. Seuss's books that they're not going to publish anymore. I haven't. The ones that they're not publishing, I haven't necessarily read. But isn't it amazing that someone's offended at a Dr. Seuss book, but they're not offended with Johnny's New Dress or the drag queens reading at the library to the children?
Isn't that amazing that we get offended? No, what it is I don't care if you're offended as long as it meets the agenda that's being pushed. I'm talking about corruption in high places. Is that not what the Bible talks about? Darkness in high places? Wickedness in high places? Hello, we're in those high places today. And so I look here and I find what's going on. But may I tell you that God's still got a purpose for us, no matter what the rest of the world's doing. And He set us up that we can continue to shine the light, that we can continue to let others know that the righteousness of God is still real today. Amen. And so we find that God has set Saul up, and He's called him to that place. We saw last week in point number one, and I know you're going to go preach, or are you preaching this whole thing? No. Go back and watch the 2 hours worth of video. I can't preach 2 hours to you and then preach this next hour. Amen? And you can say amen right there. Some of you are going, man, I don't think I could physically do it. It'd kill me. But truthfully, God's provided everything. Aren't you glad that before we ever knew anything at all, God already had everything there? You know, I've heard it said that God's already got tomorrow's blessings today. And I truly believe that. And I don't know that it's really tomorrow's blessings today. I believe that He's got next year's blessings today. And the year after that. He's got everything lined up. And why? Because that's my God. And I find His provisions here. We looked last week at the spiritual encouragement that Saul had a spiritual father. Amen. He had a daddy that was a mighty man. That's what it records in 1 Samuel chapter number 9 and verse number 1. It records Kish as being a mighty man. He wasn't mighty in society's eyes. He wasn't mighty because he had a lot of livestock. No, he was. And when it records it as a mighty man, it records it as the fact that he was mighty with the Lord. And he had a testimony that Saul was passed down with. In fact, if we were to look in verse number 2, that Saul's testimony was he was goodly. That he had a reputation that was right, but he also stood right with God. God looked upon him. Listen to me. It wasn't man that had put him in place. It was God that chose him. And boy, I'm thankful for that. And then we've seen that as well in that spiritual encouragement that God provides, that he had also had not just a spiritual father, but he had spiritual friends. We think about that servant that went with him to go look for the donkeys that his daddy lost. And he's the one that had said, look, I know we haven't found him yet, but in this city, there's a man of God. And he took him to Samuel. And even when Saul said, look, we have nothing to give Samuel, that quarter of a shekel that the servant had, he said, look, we'll give him that. And he was willing to sacrifice for his friend. And so we find that spiritual friendship and how important it is. And then we found as well that he had a spiritual leader in Samuel. And Samuel was in tune with the Lord. And God was speaking to him. And Samuel was speaking to God. And we've seen that spiritual encouragement's in the church. Amen. I was thinking the devastation that it has had on the church to where we have the social distancing. We've never been a church that's been very distant. We've all been close because we're all that family. And that's God's design for the church. Most people don't understand the church and they think church is just a place to go because they're not part of a family. And it's about a family. Hi, there's three youngins in here that I haven't been able to hold. Two of them's about a year old. I haven't even been able to pick them up and hold them. I watch them. I laugh with them. I play with them from a distance. You say, preacher, is it really that important? It is. Haven't been able to shake hands and hug necks like we do. Listen, we're a family. The closeness. I think about Brother George. Brother George wanted to be my first in everything. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, you see, the first funeral, brother, I ever preached was for his brother that had passed away. I was, boy, you talk about green. Woo! I'm thankful for a funeral home director that helped me out. He's like, hey, I know that this is your first, and I had never met Brother George's brother. Remember that? Boy, you talk about nervous. I was up there. He said, you want something to drink? I was like, I don't want something to drink. I don't think I can hold on to it. Amen. I got up there. Boy, we preached that. And Brother George's like, see, I'm always going to be first. And Brother George thought he'd be my first member that I'd preach their funeral. And praise the Lord, he wasn't and isn't. Amen. He said, preacher, what's so important about that? Well, I think about the relationship God gives us in the church. We have the spiritual fathers. The Bible teaches us there. And I don't want to preach all of it again. But we found that in the church we have fathers and mothers that are older than us that we can look to and they can help us in that spiritual direction. We find the brethren in the Lord. We find that we can walk together Amen. We find that, listen, I don't care. I told you before that I don't know what it's like to go to a church where you don't agree with everything that the preacher says, because I do. Amen. I agree with everything that the preacher says. I've heard of people that go, man, I just, our preacher's all right. I just don't agree with everything. I don't know what that's like. Amen. But I'm thankful that God has given us the church for spiritual encouragement. Why? Because if you just looked at today, if you just had the media, you'd be much, much depressed. Amen. And so I look at that, and then we've seen that God didn't stop there in this spiritual or this godly provision that He gave Saul. Listen, this was all lined up before Saul ever came to the place of being king. And so we found as well that there was going to be this provision, that there was a spiritual enabling. We saw that Samuel had told him there in 1 Samuel chapter number 10 that he was going to go and he was going to prophesy. And so we see God's enlightenment. Boy, I'm thankful that God, as a child of God, we see things that this world don't see. Amen. We see the corruption that's here. Most folks are blind to it or really don't even care. But it means something to me. Why? Because there's an enlightenment that comes with it. Not only do I have the illumination of God's Word, but I have the enlightenment how to walk in it. Amen. And so God has already provided that, and the Holy Spirit's within us. And so we found God's presence, not just God's enlightenment, but we saw God's presence. You know, it was important there in verse number 8 of 1 Samuel chapter number 10, I believe it is, that God had said, or Samuel had told Saul, "For God is with thee." And remember, I had told you that Thursday before last, Jeremiah had got up early. I like to, Bo, what time you get up in the mornings? About 5? 5 in the morning? 5:30? All right. Give me a call. All right? Because I'm up. I'm up. And I'm reading and praying and doing. You say, "Preacher, there's no way I'm going to get up at 5. You don't have to. But I like to. And Jeremiah got up that Thursday morning with me. Not on purpose. Because I tried. I was like, "Son, you're going to be tired the rest of the day." I said, "Let's go back to bed." He's like, "No, Dad, I would just want to be with you." Lizzie's not here today. But that was that Wednesday she had asked if we'd pray for her back. And Jeremiah and I prayed for her that Thursday morning. And we were reading, and I was reading there in 1 Samuel chapter number 10 and verse number 8. And I had Jeremiah, now listen, very, very simple words, "For God is with thee." That's a good thing, amen? And we learned last week that doesn't just mean that He's with me. Yeah, I got your back way back. No, that means He's in my corner. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? He said, "Look, Saul, I'm going to put you as king, and I'm going to be with you every step of the way." God hasn't put us somewhere that He's not going to be with us. We know in Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse number 5, "But let our conversation be without covetousness, for He has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." And so not all, may I just tell you, it's not just the fact He's with me, He's within me. Amen. He knows more about me than I know about myself. And He says, "I'm with thee." And so we find God's presence. But then we saw that Saul got to worship as well. God's worship. Oh, I'm thankful we get to worship Him. You say, "Preacher, what's this all for, being able to come to the place that we can climb a mountain?" Because if you can't worship on the way up, you're just going to fall on the way down. Amen. I'm thankful we get to worship Him. He is still worthy of worship. We like to complain a lot, folks. It'd do us a lot better if we'd come from the place that we quit complaining and just start praising. Amen. Brother Sutton, it's amazing what praising will do. Amen. And so we look as well. Last Sunday night, we saw the spiritual exchange in 1 Samuel chapter number 10, verse number 9. Well, we found that he was going to have a new heart. That's a good thing. He is going to have a new heart. What's so important with a new heart? It begins to change our desires. You see, God's provided that. I can't provide that. I've had people tell me, "Well, you know, preacher, I'd get saved, but I can't live the life that you live." May I tell you that I can't live the life I live if God didn't change my heart? Amen. I don't live it because of me. I live it because He's in me. And He's given me that new heart, and He didn't just write it. Boy, you know, so often people think about church as being that cold and that callous place, and boy, the things of God, it's just, there's no relationship in it. There's no love in it. And Moses held those stone tablets. But God says, "I don't want to write it on a piece of stone. I want to write it in the fleshly part of your heart." And so we found as well that Not that only in this spiritual exchange did he have a new heart, but we found that he was a new man. We ended last week with Ephesians chapter number 4, verses 20 through 24. And we were talking about putting off the old and putting on the new. And God's allowed us to have the new man. Isn't that good? But Ephesians 4 teaches us that we need to put off the old so that we can put on the new. And so we ended with the idea of God's provided all of this, and He's provided the plan, and He's provided the way, all these provisions that He has. But you know what He's left us with? A choice. A choice. God will never make anyone get saved. He will not twist your arm to get saved. He will not force you down. And be very careful here, because there's some out there that believe that unless you live your life in this certain mold, then you must not be saved. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen? It says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Man likes to add the "and live in this mold." God says, no, I want you to choose to put off the old and to put on the new. Now, I'd like to ask you a question. If I was to hold up my suit jacket, and we're going to have this as representing the new man, although it came from a dead man. Amen. He wasn't buried in it. Amen. And this is going to represent the new man. Brother Sutton has on a suit jacket, and that's going to represent the old man. Alright? Now, what's the very first thing that he's got to do in order to put on the new man? So what's the very first thing he's got to do? Some would say, well, he's got to come and he's got to take off that old. No, hold on. Before that, he has to make a decision. Before he ever starts, before he ever gets up, before he ever comes to grab a hold of the new man, he has to make the decision that he's going to go all the way to the new man. Now, I don't know how silly it'd look, but I guarantee you it wouldn't be comfortable if he decided that he was just going to leave on part of the old and wear part of the new. You know what that's going to be? Uncomfortable. Because he's going to be worried about both of them. Because I could walk around here for a while and it's going to stay on, but eventually it's going to want to start sliding off, and I'm going to be worried about trying to get it on, and then the other one's going to... And I'm going to be... See what I mean? You say, well, preacher, he can just leave that old one on and then put the new one on over it. May I tell you how uncomfortable that would be? What he might have to do is alter one of them. Wouldn't it just be easier for him to make the decision of, I'm just going to go ahead and remove the old and I'm going to put on the new? And so I'd like us to look today at Saul's problem. God had provided everything. Saul had the opportunity to be the greatest king, not just the first, but the greatest king. And I know you're going to say, well, preacher, I know the Bible, and David's the one that came up. But he didn't have to be. May I tell you that God has a great life for you? I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. God has a perfect plan and a perfect purpose for your life. But you just have to have the choice and the decision today. Hold on a second. Today, that you want that. And it's yours. You say, preacher, how's that? Because God already provided it. Why was it in verse number 16 of 1 Samuel 9? That he may. He was already allowed. And he was going to be able through God. Because God lined everything up. So notice, if you would, what limits us. We find Saul's problem. God's provision, Saul's problem. Because may I tell you, if we fall short, it's never God's fault. Can we just be honest with that? It's because of me. And every one of us, if we would be honest enough to say, there's some times I'm my own worst enemy. And there's some times that, boy, I don't make some wise decisions. And there's some times that that flesh rears up. And I don't want to live what God wants me to live. And I don't want to do the way God wants me to do it. Amen. I'm not talking about getting into to vile sin. I'm just talking about any disobedience to God is what? Sin. Amen. And so notice this. We find Saul's problem. I find, first of all, he was distracted. He was distracted. Look over in 1 Samuel chapter number 10. 1 Samuel chapter number 10. Now, bear with me now. That was my introduction. And that was just to catch you up because we got some folks that wasn't here last week. Amen. And not to mention, you all had slept since then. So, 1 Samuel chapter number 10. Look at verse number 22. I'll preach it fast if you listen fast. I'm lying, so don't even worry about it. Just listen. 1 Samuel chapter number 10, verse number 22. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. Now we know the account here that Saul had, he had even questioned Samuel a little bit. Hey, am I not a Benjamite? Am I not of the least of the family of Benjamin? And boy, Samuel said, look, you're the one that God chose. There's some times, and there's a humbling fact, and then there's the fact of disobedience. You understand what I'm talking about? There's some times that we just stand in awe in the fact that the Almighty God really cares enough about me. Hold on a second. Not just to save my soul. Not just to pay my price. But to even speak to me. There's a humbling fact about that. That He adopted me into His family. And now I'm a son. Amen! There's a humbling fact to it, but then there's the disobedient fact and going, well, Lord, you know, I'm just really nothing and I don't want to do that. Hello? And most of the time we probably fall short on the, well, Lord, I'm just going to be disobedient and I don't want to do that. And so Saul said, you know, I'm going to go hide myself and they'll turn their eyes. God will appoint someone else. But God had chose Saul, given that life for Saul and that plan for Saul. And so I find here that he was distracted, diverted by a lack of faith. Notice this in verse number 22. The Bible tells us here, behold, in the very end, he hath hid himself. Isn't it amazing that he withdrew himself? Lord, I know you've got this for my life, and I know that this is what your desire is, but yeah, I don't have the faith to follow you. Now, we know in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God does not want us to have blind faith. That's not what God's requiring us. He does not say, all right, I'm going to put you in front of this lion's den, and I want you to blindfold yourself, and I want you to take a step, as long as you have faith in me, everything. That's not what God's requiring. Faith is the evidence of things hoped. And listen, God's already proved Himself. You know, it's amazing that God had already proved Himself in Saul's life. Where did Saul go when he couldn't find the donkeys? He went to Samuel. You know, Saul believed Samuel, everything he said. He had told him, he said, Saul, don't worry about it. Those donkeys are safe at home and your dad's already came out and he's looking for you now and everything's going to be fine and this is what's going to happen and you're going to go prophesy and I'm going to come up there and I'm going to anoint you and this and this and this. And he walked away in 1 Samuel chapter number 10, just meditating on the things that Samuel had just told him that God was going to do. And now God says, all right, I want you to just trust me. How many times in our life does it feel like God wants us to do more than we're able to do? May I tell you, it should be every day. Because you're not able. But we are by faith. Remember the Bible teaches us that the just shall live by faith. We don't need faith just for salvation. No, we need faith for everything in life. I can't walk this. I can't live this life without faith. You know, I don't want to preach too much politics, but I really just praise the Lord that they haven't passed the $15 an hour minimum wage yet. Amen? You say, preacher, why is that? I mean, that whatever. It's going to cripple everyone in the nation. But beside that, what's it going to do to the pastor? Even if I was still working a secular job, that doesn't mean, Jacob, if you make over $15 an hour, do you know how much they're going to increase you? Yeah, zero. If you even still have a job. Because they might have to close it down or they might have to lay some off because they're not going to be able to pay everyone. Hello? And May I tell you that every day of our life, living our life for the Lord is by faith? Oh, by the way, we can't please Him without it. And Saul said, look, I'm going to withdraw myself. And you know what we normally do? We say, Lord, I see what You want for me. And I at least see the direction that You're pointing me, but that's too much. I don't want that much. Hello? And we've said, it's really not that important. You know, how many times have we looked at God's going to... That's just too much. That's just too much. If I could bring something to light that's very evident in all of this that we usually overlook, it's a small thing for God to make Saul king. It's a small thing. Hold on a second. This is the same God that the Bible records He span the universe. Span is 9 inches. You know how big my Father's hands are? 9 inches. I always think about Brother Billy Boatwright when I think about big hands. Brother Scooter's got some, he's got some sausage fingers there too. But Brother Billy, he was the one, brother, his fingers were not only big fingers, they were long fingers. I mean, it was kind of one of those that when you shook his hand, I don't mean to sound sissy-ish here, but when you shook his hands, you were kind of bracing for impact. He had a hand to shake. Amen? And I think about my Father's hands. And the Bible tells us here that 9 inches for us, but yet the whole world. Jeremiah knows the song. He's got the whole world in his hands. Listen, we teach it to our children, but isn't it funny that when we're older, we don't believe it anymore? It was a small thing for God. And yet today we ask, can God? 2021, can God still? He's the same God. He hasn't changed. It's us that don't believe. It's us that don't have that faith to move forward. It's us that have came to that idea that, well, you know, it's great and it all sounds good, but I just don't think that... No, hold on. If He's called you, He's provided. And that faith can be. I find as well, not only did he lack faith or he was diverted by a lack of faith, I find that he was distracted by a lack of focus. I look here and I find in 1 Samuel chapter number 10 and verse number 22 that he was hiding, he hid himself among the stuff. Can I say we live in a day of lack of focus? What were we talking about? We've got to be entertained. We've got to be engaged. It's amazing to me that cell phones, and I know you say, preacher, your cell phone's in here too. Before COVID, my cell phone wasn't in here. And I've always encouraged, you don't need a cell phone, especially in the house of God. Amen. And now I know you say, well, preacher, I'm on call or I've got this or I've got that. I get it. But most of the time, that's not the case. May I tell you, you're not on call on Facebook. You don't need an update on what your friend... May I tell you, they'll still be there. Praise God, social media is still there after service. I might have something come up or something. Isn't it amazing that our life is consumed with the surroundings? Now, stuff could be anything. Brother James, I've talked many times. I love to fish. Brother Derek had sent me a picture the other day. He was out fishing at Sands Pond. Boy, it was a beautiful day. I was putting a dash back together in the minivan. I was loving life, and he was out fishing. Amen. I'm like, that sorry rascal. And sends me a picture that he actually caught something. I'm all right with fishing. I'm even all right when you catch something. Amen. And, boy, I would love to have been out there. But isn't it funny that we look and we go, man, it is a beautiful day. I think it was warmer this morning on our way to work, our way to church this morning. On our way to church this morning, it was 54. And I think it was warmer this morning at 54 than it was yesterday at 59. And it was just beautiful. I bet you, Brother Scooter, I guarantee you, those fish are biting. I say, preacher, what are you getting at? You better not, you dirty dog. But isn't it amazing that the world consumes us? It doesn't have to be hobbies, and it could just be habits if it's really not that important. I wonder what it is that keeps God from being prime in our life. I'm not talking about just a part of. I'm talking about the part of. The most important part of. You know, look at this. Within our family, mom and dad have to love each other in order for us to love our children. To do this correctly, we have to love each other. in the manner that we're supposed to in order for us to really love our children. But may I tell you that for us to love each other, she has to have a relationship with the Lord, and Daddy has to have a relationship with the Lord. For Mommy and Daddy to really be what we need to be for each other. For us to be the parents that we need to be. How many times do we get distracted that we don't have the relationship with the Lord because of all the other surroundings? Listen, anyone that knows me knows my family's priority in my life. But for them to be priority in my life, before they can be the priority they need to be, He must be the priority that He needs to be. Amen? And we get so distracted in things. It doesn't matter. Life's busy. I thought I'd quit my job. I'll have some free time. Whatever. I quit my job and I'm busier now than I ever was before. I'm going, I need to go back to work so I can have a vacation. Amen. And so we look and we say, well, you know, it's going to be all right. But how many times do we get consumed? And may I tell you that all the blessings that we receive are not always from God. There's some blessings that I believe Satan sends us. I've known people that have had to have four-wheelers and side-by-sides and this and that and this and that so that they can enjoy them. And listen, there's nothing wrong with them. Until I have to work overtime on Saturday and Sunday so that I can have those things. Hold on. A preacher's not... Hey, listen, I know that there's times that the ox is in the ditch and there's times you have no choice. But may I tell you there's one thing that you do have? Sometimes you have a choice of how many oxes you have. And I know it's grammatically correct to say it is oxen. But I don't want to kill all my oxen. I just want to kill a few oxes. Amen. And we've got that decision. Who made the choice? We did. And sometimes we get consumed with those blessings when they're really the reason that we're not where we need to be. The Bible teaches us in Matthew 5 and verse number 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And so I find not only was he distracted, I find he was deceived. He was deceived. Look over at chapter number 13. Bear with me here. Look at chapter number 13. I want you to look at verse number 8. Now, at this time, the Bible tells us in verse number 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 13, tells us here that Saul has reigned for 1 year, and then overall he has reigned for 2 years by the time we get to the end of verse number 1. And so he's reigned for 2 years. The Philistines have came up. Now, what was the reason that God put him as king? That he may save my children Israel, or my people Israel, from the hand of the Philistines. Now, chapter 13, Israel or Philistines have showed up. Isn't that the way old Satan works? Eventually, the honeymoon's going to be over, and old Satan's going to show up. And when he shows up, he's going to rear his head, and you're going to have to make a decision. And so we find here that the Philistines have showed up. Samuel has told him there in verse number 8 in 1 Samuel chapter number 13, and he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal. And the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering, and it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of the offering, the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. Look at verse 11. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down upon me, come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly, that thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. And so I find here that he was deceived. You say, preacher, what was he deceived in? First of all, he was deceived in God's order. May I tell you that there's many times in our life that we know what God's wanting, or we know the direction that God's wanting. Take your Bible, turn over to the book of Isaiah. And yet, it doesn't happen in the time that we think it should. Anyone ever been there? You know, we think that God should move on our time scale and our time schedule. You know, Lord, I've waited long enough. I remember praying for 10 years that we could adopt. 10 years. And when God had it lined up, everything fell in place. 10 years of heartache. 10 years of hurt. 10 years of pain. Lord, when's enough enough? And God says, just keep waiting. There's times in our life where we say, Lord, you know, I'll climb that mountain. Lord, I'll live that life. But it's going to be on my way and it's going to be my schedule. And God doesn't work that way. Notice, if you would, Isaiah chapter 55. Very familiar passage to most. Isaiah 55, look at verse number 8. We find here in Isaiah 55 and verse 8, he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Hold on a second. You mean God knows something we don't? You mean it might not always come in the way I think it should come? It shouldn't be. It should be in that package, or it should be delivered the way I want it. You know what I've found? That I'd much rather just wait on the Lord. Amen. Saul said, you know, I'm gonna just go ahead and do it my way, because that was the time it was supposed to be. Samuel said 7 days, and so I've waited 7 days. Why do you think God had him wait? Because we are not very patient when it comes to the things of God. We're willing to live as long as it's within the boundaries that we set. We're willing to do... Now, listen, I know that we say we believe that old King James Bible, and boy, we're a Bible-preaching church, but usually we've set boundaries. And we've said, I'm willing to go and I'm willing to be obedient as long as it's within this boundary. Our comfort zone, is that not what we call it? Amen? And so we look here that Saul was deceived, and he thought it really didn't matter about God's order. But to God it did. The Bible tells us in James chapter number 1 and verse number 8, the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. God's order matters not just when he's on time, and it matters when he's not on time. Well, Brother James was singing earlier this morning, he was singing about old Lazarus there at the tomb. And old Martha and Mary, to them, Jesus was already 4 days too late. But no, Jesus was right on time. Amen. I'm thankful God's right on time every time. And so, he was concerned about God's order. And there's many times in our life that we get to that place that we become consumed. And that, well, it doesn't matter. Remember Elijah, there in 1 Kings chapter number 19, when he had just had a great victory in chapter 18. And then old Jezebel, she said that she's gonna destroy old Elijah. And Elijah believed her. And he just went under that juniper tree. And you know, he had asked the Lord, may I just die? Just go ahead and kill me. Just go ahead and have it ended. And then, well, that angel wakes him up. Now, I truly believe that it was a compassionate waking up. I don't believe he would have woke him up like when I'm trying to wake up the boys when they're late or we're running behind. All right, hurry up, get up. Not always do they wake up at 5 o'clock or 5:30. Amen. Sometimes they get up a little bit later, or maybe it's the fact that we're already running behind and we're trying to get them going. I don't believe that the angel did that. It was just a nice, compassionate... You know, isn't God good? Even when we try to buck against His order, He's still compassionate and His mercies are still good upon us. And I look and I find that Elijah, he had been given the food to go. And you want to talk about some high-carb food. He went 40 days on it. Amen. And he just started running for 40 days. And he was going. And he gets up to that mountain. Remember the wind blew? Remember there was a fire? Remember there was an earthquake? But God wasn't in any of those. But that still small voice. And there's many times we're looking for God in that fire or that wind or that earthquake. When it's not always the way we think it's going to be, God's going to be there. Amen. And He's going to show up, and it's His order that matters. In fact, Samuel had said, if you would have just waited, God would have set your kingdom up forever. If you would have just waited. But so often we get out of God's order. You say, preacher, what's so important about that? Well, I find that he was deceived. He was also not just deceived in the order, he was deceived in his answer. If we would examine his response here, we find that the Bible tells us that he forced himself. He says there in verse 12, I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And you say, well, preacher, he was willing to sacrifice. No, hold on a second. There's many times that we think that our sacrifice is a sacrifice when really, if it's not accepted by God, may I tell you, it's not a sacrifice. It starts with an S, but it's called sin. If we're offering something that God does not accept, may I tell you, it's not a sacrifice anymore. Now it's sin. And may I remind you that there's no such thing as sin that's ever accepted by God. May I also remind you that sin is a reproach to any people. It doesn't help anyone. And so as he looks at it and he says, I'm going to force myself. And as we examine this response, he said, I forced myself to do this for the good of the people. Is that not what he's saying? He's really saying, because I'm scared of the people. Because he was worried. They're all getting scattered and they're all going about. And he's worried that they're going to flee and there's an enemy standing. Now, I'll be honest. If we've got an army that's marched up against us, brother, I want some backup. Sure, I'll go out there in front of them, but I want some people behind us. In fact, I don't care if we've got to make up some statues or some cardboard figures so that we look bigger. Amen? If I was to zoom out here and take the camera and turn it around to where they can at least see that there's some people here. Amen? And I'm not just preaching to the camera. Hey, there's some security in numbers. Amen? And he says, I want them. You know what it really was? Is he was afraid. He was afraid the people were going to leave. But he's afraid of the enemy. Oh. You remember that God said that I'm with you? He wasn't going to forsake him. May I remind you how many times, in fact, even in Saul's lifetime, God had already discomfited the enemy. Amen. Go back to Mizpah and study it out. God had already allowed Samuel to lead the people, and God brought the victory. Amen. We just sang this morning, we sang victory in Jesus. Do we believe that? The Bible teaches us in Proverbs chapter number 29 and verse number 25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. And so I find not just in this deception of his answer, the examination of the response, but I find the deception of it. He said, I forced myself. I told you in verse number 1, it tells us that he had already been king for 2 years. You know what usually happens when we force ourselves to do contrary to what God wants? We get cold. We're complacent where we are. We're okay. We're willing to come. I mean, it's just a little bit. I mean, really, just because Samuel's not here, I can do this. Don't we think we already know what they need? And you know, I'd be bold enough to say that most parents think what your children need. But how many times do we bathe them in prayer? I don't know what my children need. Brother Darrell Weaver was talking to me a couple weeks ago, and he told me, he said, preacher, I do want to commend you on your children. Of course, Jonathan's over there pastoring a church. Jacob's in church. Jeremiah, well, he's in church. He was singing louder than any of us on I Want That Mountain. Amen. And he said, I want to commend you. And I told him, I said, it's only by the grace of God. It is. I'm not tooting my horn at all. It's not me at all. But I pray a lot because I don't know how to parent. And there's times in our life where we think that we've came to that idea that we know what. I've done this walk for a while. I've pastored for a while. Listen, folks. I don't know how to pastor you. I still want to be like Solomon when he had, early in his kingdom, when he had came before the Lord, and the Lord said, Solomon, what do you want? And he said, Lord, I just need wisdom. There's not a single time in any of our lives that we don't need God's wisdom. Saul said, I know how to do this. I know what they need. When honestly, we don't ever know what we even need, let alone what they need. Amen. And so I look here and I find Saul's problem. Boy, he was deceived. He deceived himself. And so he was deceived in his answer. I find as well that he was deceived in his consequences. Notice this. And I'll end on this. I know I've got more to preach, but I want you to look at this. He was deceived in his consequences. You say, preacher, what do you mean? He thought God would accept any offer. He didn't offer it up thinking God would reject it. He was being legit with it. He really did. He offered it up. I mean, it was a burnt sacrifice. You say, preacher, what's that mean? It was completely consumed for the Lord. None of that was false. He didn't do it vile. He had the right sacrifice. He was offering it at the right place. Amen. Everything that he was doing was the way that God had said to be done. You say, preacher, well, why was it so wrong? It was the wrong person offering it up. Take your Bibles, turn over to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 5. I want you to see the importance of this. I'm thankful that we have a high priest. We have... No, don't look at me. I'm not a high priest. I'm not even a priest. Amen. I'm just a preacher of this whole book. But I find here that there's an order that's to be done. You say, what's so important about that order? Well, it's God's order. It's God's order. And he was deceived in the consequences. He said, God's going to do whatever. He was in the right place. He was at the right sacrifice. He was at the right altar. But he wasn't the one that was to offer it up. Hebrews chapter number 5. Look, if you would, at verse 5. If we were to look at verses 1 through 4, we find here that God's speaking about Christ and how He is that high priest, or that the high priest of man had to go before God and offer sacrifices for his sins first. But I'm thankful we have a high priest that doesn't. Look at verse number 5. So also Christ glorified not Himself to be an high priest, but He that said unto Him, Thou art My Son, today have I begotten Thee, as He saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the day of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, he and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And so I look here and I find that Jesus wasn't just the Lamb. You say, preacher, what do you mean he wasn't just the Lamb? Oh, he was the Lamb of God. He is the Lamb of God. There is... The Bible tells us in John 14 and verse number 6 that Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. And He's the only way. He's the only sacrifice accepted. But may I tell you that there's many out there today that are living their life in a godly fashion. Listen to me. Holiness is still right. Amen. Holiness is still right. The Bible tells us, be ye holy for I am holy. Amen. Sanctified life and separated from this world is still the Bible way. That's still God's way. That's all right. And all of those sacrifices are the right ways and the right places. Boy, I'm thankful we're here at church. We're sitting under the preaching of God's Word. We're in the right place. But may I tell you that you can't bring up your works or your sacrifices, even though they're the right sacrifices, and offer them for the Lord. The only sacrifice for salvation is Him. The only sacrifice for sanctification, your works are still filthy rags. But He had to offer it up. You think about this, when He died on the cross of Calvary, He had rose from the tomb. He told Mary Magdalene, don't touch Me, for I haven't been glorified yet. You say, preacher, why was that so important? He still had the blood. The blood had to be placed on the mercy seat in heaven. You understand that He paid the price that I could not pay? But He placed the sacrifice in a place I could not reach. Why was it so important? There's those out there that believe that their right living is getting them gain with the Lord. May I tell you, my right living, I can't place it where it needs to be placed. I can only bring it to my high priest. Amen. I'm not talking about a man. I'm talking about my Savior. And I can bring it to Him and I can offer it up. And you know what it is to Him? A sweet-smelling savor. Hey, man, I know you're going to go, preacher, you've lost it. You're talking about the Old Testament sacrifices. He's called us to be what? A living sacrifice? I can't offer that up. All I can do is bring it to Him and say, Lord, I'm just giving You the sacrifice and let Him offer it up to the Father. You understand what I'm saying? Saul was so deceived and he thought that he could bring something to God. All we can do is bring it up to the priest. Samuel was the one that had to deliver it to the Lord. May I tell you today, we don't have to take it to man. We just take it right to the King. Yeah. Amen. And so I wonder how many times. Now listen to me. I've got another sub-point and I've got another.